CliffCentral.com.
Relationships cause and get. From Cassie to the bird. From Cassie to the bird.
That's right, it's Black Life. Welcome to it once again. Usabani, usema sebabzin. I'm just trying to explain that to Vol Marie. Oh, my mic is so far away.
Yeah, that's so much better.
I was saying, usabani, usema sebabzin. I was trying to explain that to you, Vol Marie, so you understand. You
but
see.
I didn't get it. So just
you don't get it. Should I explain it one more time?
Yes.
You've got three blondes in the studio. You need to explain.
Oh, I need to explain probably three times as well. Hey. Well,
don't
basically, the song, I don't think it's about that particularly, but it's what the lyrics are saying is, what are you afraid of? You're in the suburbs, but it's a play on words. You see, usabani, which is what are you afraid of? Use, which is you are at. Masababsin is you're at the suburbs, you see. So I just taught you something right there.
Yes.
Now you can teach me something in Afrikaans.
Okay, wait. Let me just think it through for
it's
the show.
It's not something you speak every day. Wait, it's not your mother's tongue.
Yeah, you know what? On Wednesday, I went to, what's it, Swartkops Hoërskool.
Yeah.
And I did a career guidance talk there, which you know we do every... Oh, you were there with
I
us.
I was there.
But
yeah.
you missed the talk. What I was trying to say is that...
did you speak in Afrikaans?
I tried. And I was horrified how my Afrikaans has gone backwards. I was literally trying to speak my language.
Uh-huh.
And I just went over to English.
Would you prefer it if we helped you with that by letting you speak Afrikaans on the show?
Yes, I think we should. But I think the listeners might be.
I think the listeners
might
would
be
love
horrified.
It. Let's see. Yeah, there's a listener right there. I think they're very happy to hear. But we've got some amazing people in the studio today, and we'll get to you guys in a moment. I just want to know what else happened this weekend. I was with you at Hoërskool Swartkops. Why do you spell it with a Z?
Z, I don't know.
But it's pronounced Swart.
You say it as Swartkops, but it's Z. Yeah,
okay.
I don't know.
It was my first time on that side of town, except if I'm driving through really fast to get to somewhere else. But I must say, I was very impressed with the students and the fact that they were so disciplined. And the teachers were also, you know, you could tell that they cared, that they were there to do a good job with the students.
Yeah.
And they were the kind of teachers who seemed incredibly competent. And my thing is, I'm going to a government school, right? So I didn't expect that at all.
Yeah. I must say, what I was impressed with as well, I mean, first off, you drive in, did you see your parking spot? It said, welcome, be unique visitor. You know,
yes, I noticed that. I actually parked somewhere else because I was like,
oh,
no,
that was for you. It was for you. I mean, we had, that's
yeah,
the first
that was,
school.
That was very organized, though.
Yes,
that was,
first school
it was so
did
organized,
that.
I didn't expect it, so I didn't even
so
park
even
there because I was like, this can't be for me. This is like, it's not happening.
No, it was brilliant. So that was a warm welcome. And we went in and we got started set up, and then they struggled with the audio stuff a bit.
Mm-hmm.
But the kids, everyone was so helpful. They have a crew, guys that are a little less experienced and then more, and then there's the crew.
Yeah.
So eventually they came in and sorted it out.
Look, you know? Go to a lot of schools with Be Unique, right?
Yes.
You speak to a lot of kids. Have you gone to schools where you go, wow, what is happening here? In terms of it's things are so bad.
Yes, I had a school burn newspapers. In the past, literally in the hall.
Why?
Just because they can. It was ridiculous.
While you're talking?
No,
where was the school?
Fortunately, it was before the presentation started. So we went in, everyone packed the magazines and newspapers, and you know, we go out for a cup of coffee, come back, and they burned some of the papers in the hall. It was ridiculous. And I
tell me something. Do you find that it's usually the township schools that are worse off than the ones in, I guess, in town? I mean, like Swartkops is not exactly a private school. It is a
government
school, if you will.
Yes, yes.
A public school. Model C school.
Can I be honest with you? We haven't really been to the township schools.
Oh, when are you going?
We are busy going. It's
are
in
you
the
scared?
Process. No, I'm not scared. Like the song says, no.
Usaban, sê my sabab, sê.
Ek het in die stad groot geword, Middestad.
In die stad, wat is dat?
Boomstraat, Pretoria.
Middestad.
Opposite the dieretuin.
Listen, Pretoria is one of the safest places ever. You know, when I grew up in Pretoria, right, going to town was like, you just knew you were safe. It's not like Joburg.
Okay? I know it is different.
It's not. So you're not tough.
But I'm not
okay.
scared. I'm
really?
Not scared. But we just, it's not on our list yet. It's part of the process, but it's there's a lot of schools.
There's a lot of
there's
schools.
There's a lot of schools.
There's
you know,
schools.
To get to everyone is it's a full-time job.
So what do you guys literally tell the kids every time you're there?
Well, we're trying to guide them that, you know, firstly, we want them to, on their careers, to follow their passion, you know, to choose a career. And then, you know, the whatever career that you're interested in, a lot of the scary thing is a lot of them don't even know what their passion is. Mm. They don't know what they like. So we guide them on, use the people around you because they'll know best about what are the things that you are good at and enjoy. And then we say to them from there, you know, we want to help them develop the skill for that and then find a job, like an internship program.
Or start a business, right? Because nowadays we're encouraging people to also start their own businesses.
100%.
I think in the old times, in the Old Testament, I suppose, when I grew up, it was all about just like go to school, get an education, get
work
a degree, and then get a job, right? Go and work for somebody.
Yes.
And the job or the education that you would go search for would be the best education to get you a job. Whereas nowadays,
it's not that easy.
Well, it's not that easy to have a job, and there's no such thing as a secure job anymore. There's no such thing as
there
job
is
security.
No such thing.
So
no.
You may as well go out and do what you love and do it well, and actually, you might really have a chance of succeeding at it.
Well, that's why we say, sorry, Mish, just quickly, that's why we say it's important for them to be unique. We want them to find out what makes them unique, because as you know, with your talents, mm-hmm. you can use that to start your own business.
Well, we've got Mish in the studio with us. How are you doing?
I'm so good. How are you doing?
Thank you for joining us today.
You.
You've got a deeper voice than the guy who's usually here, Mona BC.
when I phone people, they normally say, hold on, sir.
No, I mean
no,
that in a
no, bit, not like
not like in a sir way, but in like that sexy kind of would you like a cigarette? kind of way.
Can I rather just sing you jazz?
Yes, please sing some jazz.
Yes,
for
that's
us.
The voice.
I'm going to put that little that red dress on. That's one size too small. You know.
Oh yeah. Nothing wrong with that. That's what we're all about. Yeah.
Now, have you heard Mon Mobisi? I mean, you've met him, but
I
it was
have met
noisy.
Him. Yes.
So you haven't heard his voice.
No.
That's what Tomisha was talking.
I'm just playing with you guys, Mon Mobisi. I love you. He's not with us today. He had to rush off to Lesotho. A friend of his, her father passed away, so he had to be there. And help the Black Life team out by comforting. Because, you know, as Black people, if someone dies, you just have to be there. Like, funerals are socially
celebrating
occasion.
Life.
It's what you do.
Yeah.
You know, my parents go to a funeral every weekend. And it's like, that's their version of partying.
Yeah, it's what you do.
Yeah.
On a weekend.
Exactly.
You celebrate life. You celebrate
well,
life.
I don't know if you celebrate life. I think sometimes those funerals are really just, like, dreary and... I'm done, personally. I'll only go to your funeral if I saw you in the last year.
Okay.
That's a rule.
Okay.
If I didn't see you in the last year, I'm not going to... I'm saying that to all Black people who are listening. Relatives, like... You know everyone's your relative, right? There's no such thing as cousins. You're like we say cousin brother and cousin sister. Yeah. You guys don't say that. You just say
no,
cousin.
No, we don't.
Like,
cousin
my
is
first
a cousin.
Cousin, my third. I don't know what that means, right? So I'll have a fourth cousin, a fifth cousin, a sixth cousin, and you hear that somebody passed away in Mpumalanga, and you must go because they're your cousin's uncle, somebody. And you're like, but I don't even know these people. I never met them one time, and I must go to Mpumalanga to their funeral. What's up with that, Mish?
You must go.
Why?
Because the more the merrier to celebrate.
It's a celebration.
It's a celebration of life. You've got to go. The more people that are there, the more you can celebrate.
Sometimes it's not always a celebration, though. You know, it doesn't feel like a celebration.
No, it doesn't feel like it.
It feels like...
It's a good way of looking at it.
You wake up really early, you know, because a lot of the funerals,
long.
They start
long.
At 6. Yeah, you travel long, you wake up really early, and you sing these hymns. It's not like there's a worship team or anything like that, you know?
Well, I've been to... I've been to a couple in the township, and... They did have a worship team. Actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was actually very impressed.
Was it a charismatic church funeral?
No, not at all.
Really?
No, not at all.
Was it like a Lutheran or Anglican or Methodist church? What was it?
I can't even remember what it was. It was just a...
Because if it's one of those, you know if it's like a Lutheran church, we're just singing hymns, right?
Hey, listen, I'm a Lutheran, hey? Can you?
I'm sorry. I'm a Lutheran too, so that's why I'm sorry. I was a Lutheran.
And I can't.
I'm charismatic now. I'm happy clappy.
No, I'm just charismatic. But I must tell you, we got there at 7 o'clock in the morning, and there was nobody in the church, and I thought, shame.
That's strange.
And I thought, this is really odd, because she was a very popular person.
That's strange.
And this was, we do this annual ride, this Can Survive ride with Lillian Dubé.
Yes.
And we go to all the rural townships around the country. And one of our younger cancer survivors died. She was 25 and she was
That's
really popular.
Sad,
so I was like, this is odd. 7 o'clock in the morning, by 9:30, that church was overflowing.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it was so, untraditional for us Lutherans, you know, you be there at 7, the service starts at 7, you're done by 8. And this went on for about two and a half hours. People were singing songs. It was the most enlightening funeral I'd been to.
That's one I would have loved to be at.
It really was.
Next time you have one like that, call me. I'll come through.
I'll let you know.
Even if you didn't know, if you don't know them. Yeah.
Even if I don't know them, doesn't matter because you can do that. But anyway, I just want to let people know that the ACT conference is happening next week, Tuesday and Wednesday. If you haven't got your tickets, make sure that you do. We'll have a lot of information to pass to you if you are an aspiring actor, presenter, voice artist, or anything like that, and you want to get into the industry, you want to get yourself an agent, you want to understand how the industry works, how to really read a contract, and how
that's
to get
important.
Yourself ahead.
Because I mean, that's the thing that gets a lot of people down, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, you deal with contracts where you kind of should these days with everyone.
You
so
should.
What are some of the tips you're going to give?
Well, really, when it comes to something like contracts, for example, there's so many things that are in your contract, especially like there's things called standard contracts. And what happens is a lot of people, especially in the industry, work through agents. So your agent will say, "Oh, it's a standard SABC contract, love. Just sign it." You know. You're like, okay, what is a standard SABC contract, right? So you actually have to go through that to understand what makes a contract a standard SABC contract. And they're all different. As in SABC, ETV, and MultiChoice, if you're working for any of those.
Different in what way?
Well, the biggest difference is actually when it comes to residual fees and royalties. Mm-hmm. When it comes to ETV and SABC, a lot of the times it's actually built into your contract that if they repeat any of the shows, they will pay you. And it's quite stringent within the contract, which is why I always wonder why it's always so difficult to get your residuals from SABC when it's in their contract that they should pay you within the month that the repeat has played, right? Whereas MultiChoice, DSTV, for example, if you work for any of their channels, they basically say you have ceded your rights to any further monies in perpetuity across all universes, across all platforms, known or known or unknown, invented or not invented yet. So basically,
they cover all bases.
Sure.
Goodbye, baby.
Yeah.
We didn't have much of a budget this time, but we're never going to pay you, even if we do get money. It's those small things, but also what to be able to negotiate and what is not maybe that possible. Like a lot of people, you think that when you start working in film, you're going to get a really nice trailer, right? You know, you can actually negotiate the trailer, but that is always dependent on the budget. But if you can't get a nice trailer, I say get a good credit. Mm-hmm. Make sure that your name comes first in that credit and it's bigger than everyone else's.
It's interesting that, I mean, we're talking movies now. And so, well, what's it? Filming, TV,
anything
related.
Anything.
I mean, I went and watched Fast and Furious last night.
Those guys had big trailers, wow. I can tell you that.
Yes. But I mean, obviously everyone knows Paul Walker and what happened there. And do you know that he's got two twin brothers? Or not twin, but they are, I mean, lookalikes.
No.
They're 37 and he was 40 when he passed away now. And wow. They were both asked to stand in for him.
To finish the movie.
Yeah. And Cody, which was the one brother, he's never acted before in his life. So they had a crash course on how to act.
Yeah.
You know, this is a serious movie. This is like the seventh, you know.
It's the Fast and the Furious. But it's not like exactly like serious acting. It's just like.
It is. It got
cars.
Better and better. No,
is it?
It's cars.
They finally
it's,
like.
It's bodies.
On the seventh go, they were like, now I know how to like interpret the emotions on the script. Should I use the Stanislavski
system
method?
Just because you're
or the
good
Strasbourg
actor.
method?
No, I think they're good. And it was better. And there's also some life skill stuff in there in the movies. There was some good stuff.
Because I didn't go watch this one. I was like, nah, not for me, hey?
Look, you got to
like
take
when a movie
bit.
Goes to like the seventh sequel, it's like, really, guys?
Well, this is actually one series that I think, or sequel, what do you call it?
Sequel.
Sequel. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is one that's done, they're just getting better. It's
yeah, look,
not
it's,
going
it's
backwards.
Done very well. It's in the history of South African cinema, it's probably the biggest grossing weekend that any movie has ever had. Ever.
Yeah, I mean, was ridiculous, the amounts. I mean, the cars, they wrote off 230 cars in this. Okay. And I mean, this is, I just want to get my facts on exactly
230 cars. You know that will never happen in South Africa, right?
Well, no.
Like, you can't even
look
write off
one
car.
Like, no,
even if it's like a Polo. You can't write that off. We don't have the budget.
And we're talking Maserati. We're talking big stuff.
No, look.
And they're saying it's over $10 million.
With
written cars. Written cars. off.
I'm sure that their budget was over $150 million.
Yeah, probably.
So
I
it's
mean,
like,
hello.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, just the star salaries alone were over $10 million.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Come on. Per person.
But still, the poor cars. And you can see those.
You're like, can I have just one?
Just
that's what
one.
I was thinking as well.
Like, yeah. And there's some beautiful cars.
We don't really do that in this country. Our budgets are quite small. I think, you know what, it's a catch-22, because how much really, how long is a piece of string? If you spend too much on a budget and the movie doesn't do well internationally, then that's money that you've lost, right? Mm-hmm. And you know what people say every time the Ministry of Arts and Culture spends any money on a film? $10 million, you know how many houses that would have built? And it's like, well, actually, the film industry can hire so many people that can actually eventually buy their own houses that just building people houses is not the only thing that we should be considering. It's like giving someone a fish. At the end of the day, we've got to teach them how to fish, and that's important.
Yes, I was going to actually add to that now, because the people that the movies in that, I mean, that you employ end up also creating jobs again. I mean, there's so much of that.
Exactly. And a whole industry, you know, the film industry doesn't mean that you just did one film. If you think of the Fast and the Furious 7, for example, you can think of that as an entire industry. It wasn't just the film. It was the people who worked in PR, the people who worked in marketing. The cars that they destroyed, there was an industry behind that. Some
catering.
That $10 million went to a car industry in America, right? Yeah. There was catering. There was travel. So therefore, location
locations,
fees.
Everything.
And things like that, right?
Makeup.
Makeup.
And
newspapers.
Outfits.
Magazines.
It's
outfits.
Endless.
So it's endless. And what America has done so well is, by having a very strong film industry, they've made us buy into their culture and therefore buy into their products. And that's what we really 100%. Need to consider. Speaking of that, though, by the way, before I come to our very first guest for today and our only guest for today, because we're
she's
talking to
you. She's been very quiet.
She's been very quiet, but it's okay. We wanted her to be quiet because we wanted to introduce her.
Yeah.
Okay.
Misha's part of the furniture, so it's now.
Is she really part of the furniture?
She said that the only guest, so she's.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Sorry, Misha. I didn't mean it like that. I didn't mean it like that. But anyway, what I wanted to say was, make sure that you hit us up at ntulikhuma@yahoo.com. That is spelled ntulichuma@yahoo.com. Or call the office line at 011-037-4441 and come through. And get on board with ACT, man. So.
Who are you saying that to now?
I'm saying that to the listener.
I'm confused.
Okay, so we've got a special surprise for you today, all the way from Tsukhosan. But you know, Tsukhosan, basically, if you've ever been to Monte Cassino, if you've ever been to Gold Reef City,
Silver
if you've
Star.
Ever been to the Beverly Hills, if you've ever been to Silver Star, if
that's where we went last night.
Oh, really?
We're good.
Yeah. I was amazed.
Mm-hmm. If you've ever been to the Wild Coast Sun, if you've ever
Hyde Park.
No,
Hyde
not Park. That one. Hyde Park.
Southern Sun Hyde Park. Okay.
If you've ever been to Elangeni Hotel.
Gold Reef City.
I said Gold Reef City first. I used to work at Gold Reef City, by the way, many years ago. Well, then you've been in a Tsukhosan Hotel. Also, the Sun Square Hotel in Cape Town, as well as the Cullinan in Cape Town. If you've ever been to any of those, then you've probably seen me on their TV screen. I'm just kidding. today,
well, we were filming there.
Yeah, we were filming there yesterday at Hyde Park, right? But today in the studio with us, we've got Nolene Burton. Hi, Nolene.
Hey, Tamishu, how are you?
I'm good. Good to see you in our studio today.
I'm feeling sure my voice is probably not deep enough to compete here, but I'm
going
to try.
No, please
it's
don't.
It's okay. Don't
be the norm.
Don't.
Be unique.
But anyway, I'm so excited to have you in the studio because, you know, you are the marketing manager of Tsukhosan. And a lot of people have been to your wonderful establishments without knowing some of the stories. The first question I want to ask you is one of the first hotels that you guys had, the story of the Beverly Hills. Saul Kirzner built the Beverly Hills. How old was he when he built the Beverly Hills?
I have no idea how old he was. I wasn't alive, but
I hope not. Otherwise, really, your
oil of delay.
Your Botox is amazing. but actually, it was in the 60s, right? I mean, he was about 23, 20.
Yeah, it must have been about 20, 28. I think somewhere around
28. That was his first. Yeah,
I think so.
And he literally had just, he was an accountant before that, and he goes and builds this hotel.
Who he named after his daughter.
Beverly.
Mm.
Oh, I thought he named it after the place in
That's
Hollywood.
That's interesting.
Named it after his daughter, yeah.
Oh, I see. Okay. And how did that come about? Tell us briefly.
Well, I think that, you know, the Beverly really Hills is was before we sort of took over. We didn't actually own it then. We took it over 10 years later. And the Beverly Hills is just, it's an icon. It's, we call it the Grand Old Lady.
Yeah.
And I was recently down there, the most beautiful trip down there with my twin daughters and the GM and everything. It's a 5-star property and it's really great. And it's probably the loneliest, just to digress for a while, that I felt is I said to the GM there, I said, John, I'd love to go down to the beach. And he said, hang on. And he actually went and put poles in the ground and, you know, put little cabana type thing there. I felt like royalty.
Wow.
I was quite scared that someone was going to come along and realize I was just a pleb, but I was feeling
after they kidnapped you.
Yeah.
I was like, she got no money, man.
Yeah, I got nothing. So it's a great property. It turned 50 last year, which is a huge celebration for us, being the oldest property in the group.
Didn't Saul come out for that party?
Yeah, he did.
Actually did.
Yeah, he did. He was here. Yeah, I remember that.
Oh, and it was actually great to see him stand up and talk. Because in my pre-life, I used to work for Saul, so it was quite nice to see him. You know.
Yeah, you know, Saul and I are old friends. We go way back, so it was good to see
Atlantis.
Him again.
Atlantis.
You know. All those places that we used to travel to back in the 80s, like we were tight. But I mean, how has the industry changed over the years? I mean, you guys run a lot of, do we still call them casinos now or do we call them gaming resorts?
Both.
Yeah. But you run a lot of casinos, right? And before, I don't know, what can I say? We got Freedom. A lot of the casinos had to be in the, like the homeland areas, you know, so you had to travel far to get to a casino. Now, you can get to these mega entertainment resorts, if you will, and there's like quite a number of them in Gauteng alone. Mm. Has that made it better for the industry, or has the, you know, the competition made it a lot tougher?
Strangely enough, Tamisha, the people often say, oh, you know, Carnival, your competition, Gold Reef, etc. And we really, being an urban casino, you compete in a small local catchment area. So if Carnival was to somebody say to me, Carnival's your competitor, I say, no, they're not. You know, it is my competitor is the shopping mall down the road, the, believe it or not, a sports, anything that competes.
As much as Rosebank is the competitor of Sandton City, right?
Exactly that.
Yeah. Okay,
exactly,
I see what you're saying.
Yeah. So it's created its own set of nuances and challenges. Mm-hmm. You know, you've obviously always got the anti-gaming forum and whatnot, which I think we've got to be cognizant of and make sure we remain responsible. Mm. And as an industry, I think we are fairly responsible. In fact, we're the most legislated environment in the country and the most legislated gaming environment in the world.
Oh, I see. So it's not like Vegas out here.
No, you can't just go downstairs and open a slot machine and a laundromat.
Okay.
Have you ever been to Vegas?
I have. And I saw the first time in my life I saw slot machines in an airport.
Yeah.
It just got a little bit too much, though.
No, I agree with you.
I mean, it wasn't like exactly like the Hangover One. It wasn't like party all the time and hot chicks. It was just like a lot of slot machines and old people. And it was very disappointing.
How long ago was this?
This was 2007.
I'm just asking.
So I was young and up for it. And then it was like nothing happened. It was like, that's good. But nonetheless, apart from having fantastic casinos, I think one thing that you guys do and you do well is you are the brand behind MasterChef, for example. Now, how has that partnership really helped you guys get the brand out there?
You know, Tamisha, about 2 years ago, we got a new CEO and he basically said, listen, I no longer want hotels, which are Southern Sun Hotels, and casinos, Hawke Sound Casinos, to operate as a separate entity. Let's bring it together. So we did some research, as one does in marketing, and came back and found out that the Burst, you know, the little sun burst, it was what people put a lot of value in. And there was confusion because the Southern Sun...
I'm still a little confused. And I work for you guys.
No, come on, Tamishu. No, we're going to have a lesson after this.
That's very interesting, though, because you say research. I mean, that's involved. Mm. How did you do the research to figure that out?
We went to some of our own customer base, and we also did a lot of the online research where people choose, you know, you go to a company that chooses a select group within your target market and said to them, what do you like about the brand? What don't you like about the brand? And the one thing which was clearly evident was the Burst still had a history and it had a favorable history, good times, etc., associated with it. And there was, you know, should we call his name Tsoko San? You know, my mother can't pronounce the name Tsoko San. It's just Tsogo San, etc. And should that be something that we use? And we decided, let's go for it. And I think in 2 years, I mean, we had to rebrand 92 hotels, 14 casinos, give them new logos, give them a new identity. So it was quite a massive job.
Yeah, exercise. Yeah, and
we did it internally, so we did save a bit there, but you know, okay, there's obviously an expense that goes out of it. And it's quite funny now, 2 years ago when I went to a dinner party and I said I work for Tsokhosan, I get this, what's that? You know, and you have to go to this whole rigmarole. And now you say you work for Tsokhosan and invariably they ask you for your email address to send you a proposal in the morning.
Yeah, exactly. Like I said, I used to work at Gold Reef many, many years ago.
What did
it was
you do
one
there?
Of my first jobs.
I was going to ask that too.
Dealer.
Oh, what kind of dealer are you talking about? Are the cops listening? No. I was an MC. I used to be a floor MC. Do you guys still have that?
Yes, we do.
You do?
We do, yeah.
Okay, I used to go around,
right? What is a
floor MC? Basically, you get a microphone, and for 2 hours, you come up with stuff to say. So you go around, you say, good afternoon, or good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Today, on the floor, there are two machines that are definitely playing. If you're here with us, and you want to get paid, the two machines that are paying are called ATM.
Oh,
God. So I did like a lot of really bad jokes, as you can see. But it was really about giving information.
But that's a wonderful experience, though.
It was. It really was. Because you know what that teaches you? How to, number one, think on your feet. And number two, not be so sensitive. Because a lot of the times, as soon as it gets a little bit later at night, and you're going on that floor, and you're like talking to people, so how are you doing, ma'am? And if they've lost a lot of money, they're not the nicest people to talk to. So you just got to keep it moving. You got to be okay with that.
So okay. Moving to the next one.
Let's ask a quick question before we go to a commercial break at exactly 1:30. But before we do that, Mish, what is your experience with, have you been to Monte, for example?
Well, I was in the travel industry for many, many years.
Okay.
So, and I'm an intrepid traveler. So I've been to many of your hotels, Beverly Hills included, which is one of my favorite destinations. I'm not a big gaming person at all. But
I enjoy the theater. I'm not a big gaming person.
Yeah, I was saying
I think actually being
theater.
On the floor cured me of that. I was like, I can't do this.
But I do like all the new experiences that are coming out of the hotels now. For example, the Hyde Park, where they have the Friday afternoons on the deck.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just sensational to go there. It's just such a different offering to your normal hotel experience.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, we're going to take a quick commercial break and we come right back after we pay these bills.
They say, if you want to succeed, you have to go to school. If you want to be big and strong, you need to eat good. No matter what, there's nothing more important than family. There are so many children like me in South Africa that also don't have any of these things. If you could change this, would you?
By clicking a like button on Facebook, you can help get children from cradle to career with Africa Tycoon. Visit likechange.africatycoon.org.
It has been locked away from the eyes of the world. Chained, never to be released. But now, it wants to get out. Stay tuned to Cliff Central weekdays to find out how you can unleash the Jeep Renegade. Find hidden codes and videos posted by Jeep SA, and you could win Jeep Renegade prizes. As well as become the person to single-handedly unleash the Jeep Renegade upon the shores of South Africa. Are you renegade enough?
I'm a renegade, I just hit the ground running.
Visit unleashrenegade.co.za to find out. T's and C's apply.
All right, we're back at it. This is Cliff Central, and you're listening to Black Life with me and Vilmarie today without Mona BC, who we miss dearly. We really do miss BC. BC, wherever you are, man, we hope that you are driving safe and you will come back safely because we'd like to have you back. But, of course, if you never come back, it's also not a terrible thing.
So, especially over the weekends. You know, last weekend, it's hectic. You got to be, if you want to go somewhere for the weekend, get out before 2 o'clock. You know, anything after that, when you start hitting traffic, I mean, we went to Faroesburg last weekend.
Yeah. Which direction is Faroesburg? West?
What is it? Faroesburg?
Clarence.
Yes, there
okay,
we go.
Like which direction? West?
No,
north,
don't ask
south?
Me that.
Eastern.
Durban Highway.
It's in the Eastern Freeway.
Okay.
So you get off at Villiers on the highway.
Mish. Yeah. Yeah,
you go Frankfurt.
Mish is the detailed
now
one.
I get it,
Bethlehem,
you know?
Clarence, Faroesburg.
I see exactly where it is. Thanks for that.
You got
Once
it.
You said east, I was like, oh, in that direction, and then you go in the end.
You see, gorgeous,
blah, blah.
Gorgeous mountains.
Black people don't go there for some reason.
Is it?
With
a name like Faroesburg, you're thinking, I'm probably going to get lynched, man.
But I'll tell you what, I'm a motorcyclist. We motorcyclists.
Oh, yeah?
And that is the best motorcycling country. So anybody who's on
it. Or on-road?
On-road and off-road.
Yes, because okay. I was going to say, but not with the Harleys on the off-road.
No, not for the Harleys on off-road, but the road between Clarence and Fariesburg is 37 kilometers of the most impressive roads. Okay. It is spectacular, winter or summer. I mean, it is really, it's sort of motorcycle heaven, that whole area. That's why we know it so well.
That was you guys.
That was us.
Okay. I wish I could say it was
louder.
All fun. Yeah, but going
louder,
there,
except louder. Yeah?
Now, firstly, you got to know. So the manufacturers gave us some bikes, to go and test now. So we had to do little videos and things. Now, I had a Pillion, which is a racing rider, Janine, which you met. This is the first time Pillion, and this
a racing rider without a license. For the road, by the way, yeah.
But that's a Pillion is the person that sits on
passenger.
The back of the motor.
Yes, for those who don't know.
You're getting all technical on us. Like, yeah, okay. Everybody uses that term.
I forget people don't know.
You don't know where East is, but you certainly know a term like Pillion. Okay.
I should know that. That is my industry. No, yeah. but you know, now you got imagine this. I'm short, you're
really?
Tall. So now I've got this
compared
big.
You're not the shortest chick I know.
Yeah, but when you have a 1200 you got to ride, you're barely touching feet. It's a machine.
Yeah.
What machine were you on?
The Super Tenere.
Oh,
the Yamaha. Yes. Very
what nice. Is that? Like a super bike?
It's a dual purpose bike.
Oh, so it's one of those big bikes that people use to ride on the road to go to work and then
off.
Go to the farm.
On road. Yes. On road. Off road.
All right, cool. Yes. I'm getting it.
So now we got out here late. So there's traffic. You've got to move this machine in between cars.
And you've got a Pillion.
And a Pillion.
An extra weight.
Yes. And then the guys got us lost. So I'm doing my own navigation next time. So we got lost probably 2 hours. I think it was the coldest weekend to do this, to start off with. It was freezing. We got there midnight and the last 30 Ks was just gravel road. So gravel with a Pillion who's never been Pillion or on the dirt.
Oh, wait a minute. So you still had her on the back of the bike on the gravel?
Yeah,
that was a good thing. That was
on
a good
way.
Thing.
But she could have gotten on her own bike by now.
No, because we only had three bikes. You can't, I mean, how are we going to
so
get
the
other one,
one
there?
Oh, no, I wasn't there. I was there the weekend before.
You also weren't invited either, hey, Mish. I wasn't invited.
I was invited the weekend before, though.
Oh, at least you went
somebody else.
Oh, correct. Someone else. Oh, no, I wasn't invited at all.
Mountain Medallas. That was us.
That was nice.
Hang on. Do you have a license?
Your Pillion rider didn't have a license either, did she?
That's why she was a Pillion.
I will not lift you. I'm sorry. You are not a small guy.
But you don't
and
have
I
to
mean
lift
that
me.
In a nice way.
I mean,
way.
Like, we'll just drive it. And then when the cops come, we'll just, like, explain.
No, if they something happens, then I'll never get a bike again from the manufacturer. So we are responsible.
Why do you think anything would happen? Nothing would ever happen.
It does, unfortunately.
You're with me. The only thing that would happen is
you can put
fun.
Your feet
lots
out when
fun.
I can't stop.
Yeah, yeah exactly.
So we should put out your feet.
Yeah.
Okay, I want to talk to Nolene a little bit more. Now, Nolene, I was asking you a question, and I really think that our listeners would be very curious to understand this. Because let's take, I suppose, the hotel and leisure industry, and let's take television and marry the two together. How did that decision come about? How did talk us through the process when you guys got together with MasterChef or MultiChoice and decided to really just get behind MasterChef South Africa?
Well, DSTV came to us with an advertising or sponsorship proposal, and we had a look at it. And at that stage, if you go back to the original MasterChef, cooking shows were starting to get big, and it's always important to get in at the right stage of a trend. And we had a look at it. We had seen the Australian one, and we said, "Yeah, let's get on board because there's huge synergy."
Yeah.
And Tamisha, we do quite a bit of work with you, and you've probably seen in the time that you've been with us is how there's more of a focus on restaurants and things like that within our own establishments.
Yes.
So it made quite a natural assumption for us to go with them, and it's really been great, you know.
Okay. Now the first winner of the first season of MasterChef. Talk us through that. You gave him a restaurant, Dina.
Dina.
Right?
In
Dina's
City,
now.
Isn't it?
No,
Monty.
At Monty. What's the name of his restaurant again?
Aria.
Aria. I've been to his restaurant, Aria. How's it doing? You know?
It's done very, very well. He was delighted. We decided to extend it because we gave him a restaurant of usage for a few years.
Oh, I see. Yeah. So how many years was the prize worth?
It was two years originally. Okay. All product, everything for no cost for him to utilize. When I say product, you know, the plates, the this, the that, etc.
Okay.
And guaranteed revenue from the hotel breakfast because it's obviously part of the Sunset Hotel. Yeah. And then we extended it, initial extension, and he's delighted. In fact, he moved up to Johannesburg. It's something that, you know, he takes great passion in. I think like any restaurant that's attached itself to a name is, you know, as the restaurant, he was a winner 3 seasons ago, you know, it will take a little bit of a slight, when I say dip, as he becomes,
as he becomes a normal restaurateur, not the MasterChef winner.
Correct.
But
correct.
Now, the other MasterChef winners over the seasons, have you guys given them restaurants as well?
No. Not really. You know, you've got to be so careful. You sort of learn the hard way. A lot of the people who win and who take aren't really business people. They're not necessarily people that you want to
They're
be.
They're great cooks.
Yeah, great cooks.
Okay.
And all of a sudden you're giving them, they've got to run a chain, they've got to, you know, sort of run the line, they've got to be a, you know, executive chef, etc.
Run a business.
Yeah. You're going back to your point earlier. And I think we were lucky with Dina. We got a chap that was in business who was slightly more mature.
Yeah.
But you could end up in a situation where you're giving a 21 or a 22-year-old who's not yet ready for that, you know, that sort of prize.
Okay. Now, I know that every year when the Springboks are having major games, and this year is more exciting than most because we're going to the World Cup, you guys usually have a Boktown in Monte Cassino. Are we going to have that this year?
We are. We, once again, the official Boktown both there. And
awesome.
At Silver Star, where you were the other night.
Just the two? Is it just, if I want to go watch the Boks play, I can either go to Mohale City, formerly Krugersdorp, and go to Silver Star, or I can go to Monte Cassino. What if I live in Pretoria?
I have no doubt that the Boktown is owned by the, you know, the Treble Group on behalf of the Rugby Union. So they will go and have a look at other establishments. But I must tell you a very interesting story, and I just, careful, I don't get sort of, as we all do, emotional on this. But Boktown's been voted the best place to watch rugby for some time. And in Nelson Mandela in the last Rugby World Cup that took place here, the one before New Zealand, actually phoned us and said, can I please come watch the game?
Norlin, can I please come in and watch the Springboks play at Monte Cassino?
But it was incredibly moving because the whole crowd was sitting there, and unbeknown to them, on the Sun Square Hotel on the balcony, he was sitting watching it, and we asked permission, could we let the audience know that he was there? And he was getting elderly at that stage, and they said, just watch the lights and all of that. And when it panned across him, he stood up. And you have never seen such patronage in your life, because here we were watching the Springboks, and this man stood up, and it was brilliant.
Wow.
Absolutely brilliant.
That just sounds. Those are the kind of stories that you want to hear when you do attend those kind of things. I always love going to Boktown because there is a lot of vibe, and I think Springbok games shouldn't be watched at home by yourself.
No.
There should definitely be an event, you know. And some of the other events that are happening right now, you know, I'm not trying to just push Tokosan or Monte Cassino, but a lot of people who live in this part of the country want to know what is happening, because you guys have a lot of great things happening at Monte. Like right now, you have Mamma Mia's playing again?
Mamma Mia's playing till the 3rd.
Okay.
I went to go see it the other night.
So it's great for theatre.
Oh,
by the way,
we've got
Monabisi on the line, guys. Let me just try and...
Now you're going to hear his voice.
Which mic should I use for?
It's like competition.
For BC, let's see.
No, he's joking.
No, I'll get it.
So when is it showing?
Till the 3rd.
3rd of May?
Yeah.
Okay, so there's still some time. Are we going to go do it, Mish?
I'm booked to go already. Sorry.
Oh, thanks. Mm. Okay, so now the invite thing comes up.
Mm-hmm.
It's the touring production. I'm gone.
Oh, wait a minute.
You switched the wrong Michael.
I switched the
wrong.
Sorry.
Are you guys done now?
Hello.
Hello, Mona BC.
Are you guys done now? Are you done? Can I get onto the show, please? Can I meet the guest?
Talk, you're wasting time. Talk.
BC, how are you doing?
You cut him off again.
Did I cut him off again? Okay, hang on a sec, BC. I'm trying to find you a mic, you know? And it's not as easy as it looks being the director of the desk. Wait a minute. Okay, no one's sitting there.
When are you going, Mish?
For what?
For Mamma Mia.
We booked tickets for next week, I think Tuesday or Wednesday.
But I mean, you can sing and act. Why don't you do something like that, Tomisho?
You know, I'm classically trained, darling. I don't do musicals.
What does classically trained mean?
That means I do Shakespeare. I do basically I do the theater productions that are very like serious. like I
yeah,
did.
Yeah, but you've got to bring out your fun. I saw you here with like, a drink or two. Then the fun.
I do like John Gani type plays, you know, Asina Mali or those sort of things. But BC, are you there? Hello,
no.
BC. Wait. I'm
sorry,
trying to get
people,
BC
I just,
on the
I should
line.
Take a photo of this so people can see how you're struggling with this.
Thanks, Vilmarie.
What number is it?
Okay. Is he there?
Hello.
Oh, there. He is. I can hear him. Can you hear him? Can everybody hear him?
Yes, I can hear you loud and clear.
I can hear you, buddy. Let me try and up your volume. You need to talk a little bit louder because Barissa tells me that we can't hear you very well. How's Lesotho there, guy?
All right, man. How's Nolene? Hello, Nolene. Hello, Michelle.
Mishka.
How are you?
I'm fine, and you, Mish?
Good.
Look, Beast, we might never have you back again because, you know, we think that Mishka is far more interesting to look at because she's really hot and you're not, obviously, as you know. And you know,
I'm not there to see this.
Huh? You what? You see, that's the thing.
And I'm not there to see this.
But you
no,
saw
you're
her.
Not.
I'm back next week.
I'm a man by myself with three blondes in the studio, dude. Anything can happen.
Lucky
please,
you.
Please send us a picture. I'm not sure about our blonde.
I'll send you a video.
Yochat.
Yeah, please do.
She says Yochat, by the way. That's like with a lot of endearment behind it, with love. Yochat mit Lieve. Yochat mit Lieve.
Nolene, I don't know if you were brave enough to share our proposal. You know, when we said Tokosan, we were obviously sucking up to you. You know that, right?
Of course.
So, yeah, we wanted to do an outside broadcast at Beverly Hills for about a week, you know. I think a week would suffice. It would be just fine, you know. Breakfast, lunch, and supper. You know, we just a view, obviously. You
you're
know,
always,
so
you're always trying to get some free stuff on
ABC.
BC, just hold on. We've got some technical things. We're just swapping a mic quickly here. Nolene, did you
okay,
hear all
I'll
of that?
I'll listen.
Basically, Mona BC wants a free week at the Beverly Hills. Why, buddy? I thought you made money. Can't you afford it? I'll take you. Don't
no,
worry.
No, I said for the team. I said we can go broadcast from Beverly Hills live and our next show as a team, not about freebies.
Oh, now that I like. You see, now that makes sense to me. That I'll do.
I must tell you, before I came in here, I was talking to Rena outside, and I said to Rena, we've actually got to get you guys into one of our properties to do an OB. I know you've done it at the waterfront.
Yeah.
It's on the waterfront. But, you know, something like Monte Cassino, 800,000 footfall in a month, you know, something to come through on a Saturday or something, and have some fun, maybe bring some of the cast through, whatever shows that are on at that time.
Nolene, BC, did you hear that?
Now, BC's gone.
I heard some of...
All right, cool. BC, are you still there?
No, sorry, Nolene, would you say that again? We're getting there.
No worries. I was just saying that it's before I came onto the show today, I was talking to Rena outside, and I said to her, it's a really good opportunity for Cliff Central to come and broadcast any one of the shows from one of our units. You know, you take a property like the Bev, which is great for content, great for presenter motivation. Or you go to a place like Gold Reef City or Silver Star where you've got huge footfall. You know, Monte Cassino, you know, with Friday night can put through 35,000, 40,000 people. What a great way to, you know, to expose a great new concept.
You said at Monte now?
Yeah, at any one of those, yeah.
And even with the other guys there, I don't want to mention, is it fine?
No, it's absolutely fine.
Oh,
yeah.
Look, just wondering.
We don't ask them to broadcast in, you know, any other hotel group or anything like that. And it's a good relationship. It's mature. No problem at all.
Oh, but that's actually fantastic, especially.
So when are we going to the
awesome
Beverly Hills,
stuff?
Though?
Back to the Bev.
Yeah, back to the Bev.
Come I on. Thought you spend a lot of time in hotels.
Not enough
concerned.
Time. You can't ever spend too much time at the Beverly
yeah.
Hills.
Now, I tell you what, you guys want to do a weekend broadcast there?
We'll do that.
You've got it on air then.
Okay. I think on one condition,
yeah.
That we can't change the channel from Inspire while we're there.
Okay. This is a week. You and your own.
You, especially you guys. You have to watch Inspire the whole weekend.
Do you just want to share with everyone what Inspire is?
Oh, okay. Let me let them know what Inspire is. Thanks.
Thanks, Nolene.
Am I asking
Thank
the
you.
Questions or are you asking? I'm asking
no,
the questions.
No, but that's you're at a desk.
He's multitask.
I finally got it together. Oh, my goodness. But no, Inspire is a television show that is on all Tsukhosan hotel screens, I suppose. It's the first channel when you switch on your TV. And I think it's a great initiative because it's really all about talking about South African leisure, South African, when you think of restaurants, they might all be under the Tsokosan banner, but really it is about exposing what is happening out there in South Africa, especially when it comes to, help me out here, Amish, entertainment.
Entertainment, restaurants, the movies, because, you know, we own quite a lot of movie establishments, the theatre shows. Theaters. And we're very proud to say that Tumishu is our MC or our anchor for the show.
On one and only.
And with 14,000
so
rooms.
Upgraded from the floor to the...
Yeah, you got upgraded.
Yeah, from the floor to the rooms. I'm now in the rooms, not on the floor. But here's the thing that I've always really admired about what you guys do. When you made a decision to really back South African, I suppose, entertainment, because in most of your establishments, you have a theater, and now you have a cinema, and of course, all your restaurants are basically run by South African head chefs, right? When you decided to do that, how did that decision come about and why?
You know, entertainment has around the world been synonymously linked with gaming. So gaming also gives you the wonderful business model to be able to attract that sort of thing. Because, you know, running a theatre, have a look in South Africa, you've got really four major theatres. You've got Artscape, government. You've got the State Theatre, which I'm, you know, the state, as you know, is in a bit of a challenging state right now. The Johannesburg Theatre, government. And then you've got two major private ones, being the Teatro at Monte Cassino and the Lyric at Gold Reef City. So there's a natural fit there, because my job, is to make sure that we constantly have something fresh, something exciting going on. Similar, I suppose, to a radio station, is you need content. And without content,
you've got nothing.
Especially an urban casino. We've got to attract the same people regularly back to our property, be it for a meal, a movie, or a flutter.
I mean, recently you had Warhorse at the Teatro. And that couldn't have been a very cheap production to put up. Did you guys make box office? Did you make the money back? Did a lot of people come and support? And even when you had things like The Lion King, I know you've had like some big
and I've,
major...
I wanted to see all of them and I somehow didn't.
I have been
I've
to
seen
all
most of them.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm a theater fan.
And there's usually a lot of people there. So is it a viable business? Because for me, I've always thought maybe theater's dying.
You know, we have different business models throughout. It's a valid question. We have different business models depending on our theater. Now, you take, for example, Warhorse. That is a show put on by Peter Turin. He actually got together with a Handstring Puppet Company and brought it out. So a lot of that show is at his risk. Mm-hmm. We try and minimize the risk by not charging exorbitant rentals. We put our marketing team behind it. Mm-hmm. And he was quite fortunate there to have got the sponsorship of Rand Merchant Bank.
Okay.
What we try to say to promoters or producers is we hopefully provide you not with a risk-free environment, but certainly reduce the risk of performing.
Yes.
But I must tell you, you take something like Warhorse, it was sold out. In fact, by the time it moved from Johannesburg to Cape Town to Artscape, it was sold out on the first night.
Wow.
Which is unheard of.
That's wonderful, though.
Mm. It is good.
I mean,
it's good for the industry.
It is good for the industry because even when I say I think theatre is dying, I'm not happy to say that. I think that for the past 15 years, theatre has been declining in terms of audiences. And maybe it's time that we also found different shows that people wanted to watch. And people were very excited about a show like Warhorse because they could see, first of all, a South African puppet company that made all those horses that were so real. But it was like an international collaboration, if you will.
Yeah. Also, but you know, you say theatre's dying, and I would say the theatre's very much alive and well in South Africa, but it's changed.
Yes.
So, for example, you know, you take the Teatro at Monte Cassino, we average about a 92-93% occupancy in our shows. Now, you take an eight-week run, eight shows a week, you're hitting fairly high occupancy.
Okay, so what kind of shows would you say work the best at the moment?
If I talk the teatro, I'd say Broadway musicals.
Okay.
Definitely. South Africans don't, however, like unknown shows. We battle with unknown shows. Okay. We like going for commercial.
Familiar.
Phantom of the Opera. Something which I watched at Monte myself at the teatro. Mm. But it's basically what you're saying is it's something that people can say, well, this was on at Broadway when I was there a couple years ago.
So let's now Mamma Mia should also be, I mean, that's popular.
We saw with Meryl
that's doing very well. Yeah.
We battled to get tickets for that. That's why we're only going next week. But honestly, battle ticket.
Are you going to get all dressed up, Mish, and sing along?
That's me.
Mamma Mia. Here we go again. Mamma How can I forget you? Come on, sing along with us. You don't know
no,
the lyrics?
I can't sing.
It was before your time, wasn't it?
Can you not remember the other night when we? I can't sing.
That's because you keep telling yourself that.
No, I know what I know my strengths and I know my weakness.
But do you know any ABBA songs, or was it like before your time? You like?
It's not before my time.
Oh, is it?
Okay. I should say it is. Yes, because you're much older than me.
I'm not much older. I'm just like a few years.
No, I do. I know them, and I actually do like.
Oh, okay, cool.
I love musicals.
Because you can't not sing along.
But I actually agree with what Nolene was saying about how theatre is very much alive. And I think there's a perception that's created where there were so many more theatres, certainly in Gauteng. Mm. I mean, I'm going to theatre for many, many, many years, but you had a choice of theatres.
Yes.
And I think that the theatres closed down because they weren't being fully supported.
Yeah. Now there's less, but
now
it's
there's
still
less, but the occupancy rate is high.
It's good,
and people are you can see they enjoy going to the theatre. We don't miss a show.
At the theatre
because it's in my neighbourhood.
All right. But like Nolene was saying,
the productions are brilliant.
Fantastic. But like Nolene was saying, would you go and watch, I suppose, a brand new South African show that's pretty much unknown at the theatre?
Absolutely.
All right.
Yeah. So I even subscribe to what comes out from the theatre. Okay. And
you buy season tickets.
And I buy season tickets. I find the right crew of people.
I learned something new.
I
thought I knew you.
What?
I didn't know that side of you. Oh,
she's a lot more cultured than you thought.
Yeah. I don't
she's
just
not
have,
just boerewors and motorbikes.
I don't just have agriculture, eh? Yeah. I've got other culture too.
Now, in terms of what is... Oh, you wanted to ask something?
I want to ask something a little off the theatre side. Just, I'm curious because of my background with New Metro, for example. Now, New Metro used to be at Monty. Is it skinnedness or is there something, you know, why change from that to At Movies is now yours? It's owned by you guys. Hey?
Is it your own brand?
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
It's very
exciting.
Interesting.
No, actually, you know what? This is really exciting. It's your own brand, which means that you guys can do anything. You can play whatever you like there.
Look, I know the logistics.
I got a movie coming up.
I know the logistics behind movies, buying and renting, and it's very involved.
You're going to produce on this film, so you better know. And you better get it on At Movies.
I mean, that must have been a big step for you guys to do that. Did you just end the contract with New Metro? Was it did it not work for you guys? What made you get to that point?
We had a long-standing relationship with New Metro, but as we expanded our entertainment offerings around the countries, we started building some more movie houses. So, for example, in the Ridge in Witbank and at Hemingway's in East London. And when we built those, it made sense to put our own movie theatres in because we could then offer prices for our clubs, etc. And it became more suiting our business model.
Internal marketing almost.
Internal marketing, the ability to... For us, it was very important to be able to have, for example, very good cleanliness in the movie houses, etc. Yeah. And obviously, the traditional movie houses operate off rather thin margins. Mm. Where we weren't; it's not our primary business. Mm. So it's by no means a loss leader. We're not accountable to shareholders individually for that. As part of our contract with New Metro is that if they change major shareholding, and as you know, they recently did, we had the option to purchase New Metro Monte Casino. Which we exercised that option. Some of it because of the unknown. It certainly wasn't a case of us being unhappy with New Metro, but definitely a case of us being able to perhaps use it to suit our own brand and our own needs a bit more, and to operate it at margins that were still good, but were more keeping up to our desired standards, etc. And we also opened movies recently at Silver Star, and we will be opening at Gold Reef City. So we're quite a big operator around the country now.
Yes. Yeah. It was a bit of a shock for me because I went from New Metro next minute. It's not New Metro and you can't book seats, you know. So I don't know how people in general feel about that. I like to book my seat.
You can now. Actually, it depends on the show. You're right on that. Yeah. We're trying that. That's an American model. If it doesn't work, we'll listen to the customer.
Which is what? People being able to book
you
seats?
You can't. You just got to walk in. So if you walk in 5 minutes late, you don't get a nice seat, you know, and you could have bought your tickets an hour ago. So that, you know, I'm just from personal saying.
No, it's a good point.
I like to book. And I saw that again last night at Silver Star. Mm. But it is, like you say, clean. The seats are comfortable. It's fantastic.
It's not like
from
it
that point. It's not like?
It used to be.
Not like it used to be, but where does it leave New Metro? It's probably not fair to ask you that, because that's big changes for them.
It is big changes, but I mean, they're still a large group, and they're still a group that I admire and respect. And it's just one of those where there's another operator, and they effectively lost one cinema, but we gain more through building.
Okay.
Last question, because we really have to wrap this up, but because you guys have At Movies, in terms of, exhibiting South African films, what is the process like? Is it the same as speaking to New Metro? Can we come to you? And
of course, we have a management company looking after that. And
is that the ads now? Sorry, just trying to understand your question.
Actual films.
No, films to actually.
To play it there.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we will look at it the same way as New Metro or anyone else did. It's commercial viability.
Okay. And the same with ads? Do you flight ads in your movie houses?
We do. We use the same company that New Metro does, called Popcorn to sell it. We still utilize Popcorn quite a bit, yeah.
Okay.
All right. Well, we got to go. Thank you so much for being with us, Mishka. You are wonderful.
Oh,
and Nolene.
Thank you so much for letting us join.
Yeah.
Cool.
It was an absolute
great
pleasure.
Thanks, Nolene.
Please come back again. We'd like to talk to you some more again one day, I'm sure. But in the meantime,
this hour just flew.
It flew by. We are going to have O'Neill coming up next. Not Nolene, O'Neill. And so stick around for that.
Much
he's always got like really fresh and wonderful music. You are listening to Black Life. We'll see you next week for more only on CliffCentral.com.
Hasta la vista.
Bye.
CliffCentral.com.